morning. A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel. Praise
you, Lord. You know, before I begin today, I really believe the Lord gave me a word for someone. And I don't really point the person out, and I'm not going to. And so this is a story that I want to kind of share real briefly. And if this resonates to you, then it's for you. And he used a bonehead like me to really give you a spirit of encouragement. But as you know, that this pastor that's standing in front of you is a Tesla fanatic. And that the Model 3, all I do is focus on Teslas. And there's 1,000 Teslas out in Southern California. And I spotted 4 of them. And I was so excited, I get jovial, that I go, "Oh." And I get so excited about it. Now, it doesn't matter. There's a million other cars out there that just don't click with me. But somehow I see it, and I experience it, and I see it moving. See, what happens is when you're single, all you see is married people, correct? All you see is what you want. And then when you're a married person and you don't have a child, what do you see? Children. And so I want to encourage you, when all your desire is to see and experience the presence of God, therefore, even in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of frustration, you will see moments of God's movement in other people's lives that will encourage you, even in spite of the craziness that is going on in our world, that when you focus on it, you'll see it. And what's amazing is God's going to use you to make a difference on what you're frustrated about this week. So allow the movement of the Holy Spirit to move in your life, knowing that the Lord is still on the throne and that he can bring hope where there's hope. He can bring joy where there's need joy. He can bring direction, and he can use you in a mighty way when you just humble yourself and say, just like the scripture in the Old Testament, "Here am I, a servant of you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity of getting in your word, and I thank you, Lord, for this day. And I just pray, Lord, for a special anointing on her singles and our couples, everyone in this church. We just pray, Lord, today will be a day that they can experience the presence, the love, the compassion, the unconditional love of you. And I pray, Lord, that today we can know without a doubt we are his beloved children whom he's well pleased. We thank you so much for your unconditional love. We thank you for your direction. We thank you for being on the throne this week. And in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Now, I don't know, I want to throw this picture up here. Do you guys remember, if you were part of this church over 5 years ago, a gentleman that I hired named Dan Davidson? Now, Dan Davidson right there, I hired him from, he was in San Diego, and back then the denomination I took the opportunity to oversee the Pasadena Free Methodist Church. And when I saw that was running two services, it was Paul and I, that on Sunday after church, we would go to Pasadena, and Paul would lead in worship, and I would preach to a small group of the church in Pasadena. And so when I hired Dan here, we were running three services, and Dan was one of the service pastors at the 9 o'clock service. And then lo and behold, we let him take the church over after I had to clean house. And this year they're going to double services, and the church is growing dynamically, and they called it the Rose City Church. They renamed the entire church. But what's amazing about Dan, he decided that he was going to open, as a senior pastor of the church, to open a coffee house cafe called the Rosebud Cafe. Now you would think, oh, good night. Okay, we're getting into the business world of not saving people's lives and stuff like this. But it's interesting, he's been open for about 3 or 4 months now. And according to Yelp, it's a 60 reviews, and he's averaging 5 points, which is one of the highest reviews of the coffee shops on Colorado Boulevard. And he had the Pasadena Star News, the Eaton magazines, and other publications come and interview during due stories of his coffee house. Now, if you go on our Facebook, I have linked the news story from NBC News Story. But what's amazing about this coffee house is that all he hires is homeless young people. And so if you listen to the stories of the lives that are changing, it's just amazing, especially on the news when they're interviewing this lady who was homeless and now is a manager of the coffee shop, and how he's making a difference in this community. And so if you look at this, his mission is to help homeless people. But what's interesting about this is when I hired him 5 years ago, he just went through a divorce. The denomination kind of pushed him away. And so therefore I hired him because his story was so similar to mine. He is the poster child of restored in order to restore. Because he was restored because of this church into back into his ministry. And what's amazing, he's using his ministry as to restore others. Now, Dan Davidson's a lot different than I am. He doesn't have the control issues I have when it comes to Sunday morning, because what he doesn't preach except once a month. And the reason why, he's so busy going out the community, networking, he's doing Black Lives Matter, getting involved in that, getting involved in a lot of other stuff, because Dan Davidson, his personality is totally on the move. And now he's married. He has 3 children that are constantly on the move as well, because they're just like Dan. And so this is a perfect opportunity to see that when Dan's on the move, because he's doing what God has called him to do. Here's why. Look on the screen. Jesus was always on the move to meet the needs. So it makes sense that the church, which is called the body of Christ, would also be the body that is on the move to meet needs. Today's gospel, as we heard in John, is showing something very important about the presence of God being on the move. And I want you to look at this, back on the screen. This passage comes at the end of the first chapter of John. The first part of John makes it clear that God became a human and tabernacled among us. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you'll realize that God's presence was in a portable temple. It wasn't an established temple that had to stay there, but it was in what we call a tent. And so when God moves, guess what? The tabernacle gets folded up and moves with God. And so when God's presence moves, the tabernacle moved. And so Jesus is now in the tabernacle. You have to understand, you and I are, guess what, the body of Christ. And so when Christ is on the move, that means you and I are on the move. And so John makes it clear that Jesus is a tabernacle where the presence of God came among us. And like the tabernacle, Jesus could move and take the very presence of God to the places of the greatest needs. We have a whole world that has some huge needs. We have communities that are in need. And this is where God's presence goes, I'm moving. I'm moving. Even if my church doesn't move with me, I'm going to move. And so today it's interesting because we go look in this passage in John chapter 1. And I love Philip and I love Nathaniel. And it's this incredible story on how they dealt with Jesus. Jesus went to Philip and said, dude, follow me. I don't think he said, dude. That was just my world, my translation. But he didn't say, let me sit down, let me do a Bible study, let me, so you can become a member. Let me show you. He said, just follow me. Again, Jesus is continuing to be on the move. And so Philip goes crazy because he's so excited about this. Then he goes to his friend Nathaniel. And he tells Nathaniel this, and it's recorded in John chapter 1. He says, we have found him, about whom Moses is the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth. Now, as Philip was excited, you would think Nathaniel goes, all right, this is cool. But Nathaniel locks into one word, Nazareth. Oh, geez, what good can come out of Nazareth? That was his response. It's just like, what good can come out of Africa that we've heard this? But Jesus was in Nazareth. And so this is interesting to me because it was a podunk little town, a very poor people that lived there. And so if you look on the screen, when God chooses to tabernacle with humans, God chooses the unlikely out of the way, places on the margins. That is where pushed aside and forgotten people need God's restorative presence the most. God still surprises us when God's presence shows up in the most unlikely places and unlikely people. Yes, you may find Christ in the church building, but you are more likely to find Christ on Skid Row or among church groups that are sharing a meal in Venice with a homeless youth, or in a cafe in Pasadena that provides a future for young people who would not have a future otherwise. That is because Christ is on the move, and he moves to where people are in need, God's loving presence, amen? And so this is interesting, because how Philip dealt with Nathaniel. Philip did not decide, you know, I'm going to do an apologetic move on him. And I'm going to argue with him. I'm going to discuss with him. Apologetics is a Christianese word. Basically, I'm going to argue about the faith or lack of faith in defense of an argument. But he gives Nathaniel the coolest answer. All he says to him is, according to John, come and see. I want you to see what Jesus can do. I want you to see what Jesus has done. And here's the thing, back on the screen. There's no better argument for Jesus than Jesus himself. Perhaps the reason Christians have developed all kinds of clever ways to defend their faith and to try to convince, you know, my medication's gone. Do you hear that buzz or is it just me? Oh, it's just me? Okay. Because I'm cutting it in half and it's just not working. Okay. You know what? You're such a loving group. I'm the only one that hears it, and you're just being so loving to it. Just kicked in the other tablet. Praise God for medication. Jesus knows Nathanael before Nathanael even knew Jesus. And this is what's amazing. Jesus knows you before you even knew Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you before you even acknowledge who he was. And see, this is what's interesting about when he dealt with Nathaniel. This is when you know you are in the presence of Christ, when Christ looks beyond the exterior of who you are and loves you for who you are. I was just telling a couple here, some of the best acting jobs that we in California are on Sunday morning during service. Because we're going, okay, let's pretend. How you doing? Praise God. Hallelujah. He is risen. How's everything going? Man, God's been, you know, I don't know what these words mean, BS. There's some kind of meter, right? Right, the meter just goes crazy when somebody's acting. Why not be authentic? Why not be who you are? Because Christ's love, he goes beyond the brokenness. He goes beyond your craziness. And he knows the deep-rooted heart of who you are and loves and cares. This is when you know you experience God at its fullest. Look on the screen. You feel fully exposed, but yet completely loved and accepted at all at the same time. This is not a description of the church. Completely exposed, but completely accepted. There is no way in the world that I can be completely accepted with my wife if I have not been completely exposed with who I am. I can project on who I think I should be, who she would be in love with. But one of the things I've learned is to be fully loved and fully accepted, I have to be me. I have to be what God has created me to be. It's too bad that the church is a church of acting rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. See, when restoration begins, it doesn't begin by judgmental. It doesn't begin by shame. It doesn't begin by guilt. But how do you see someone through restoration? You love that person through it. That's how you love someone through restoration. And all of us need to be restoration. So Nathaniel here is totally blown away because he says, this is the real deal. This is not evangelicalism. This Jesus is the real deal. And so I put on the screen that you ain't seen nothing yet. Again, that's my translations of how I look at the scripture here. Because Jesus is about to say some really weird stuff, which I can connect, because sometimes I say weird stuff too, about the heavens being opened and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And the thing is, you go, what is Jesus talking about in this situation? Well, Nathanael, who was a Jew, knew the Old Testament. And he was referring to a story about Jacob, who Jacob was having, fell asleep and had this dream where angels were going up and down this ladder. And when Jacob woke up from the dream, he said to himself this. It's recorded in Genesis 48. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jesus is basically telling Nathan here, and I'll put it on the screen, get moving with me and watch what happens. God is no longer in the temple of Jerusalem. God is right here in me, and I am the house of God. I am on the move, and God is on the move with me. As we read this, Jesus, we see for ourselves that God is on the move, going to places that need restoration. I really believe that the Lord's temple is on his way to the United States because we as a country need restoration. We need to be healed. We need to humble ourselves and seek his face. And then what scripture said, then he will heal our land. And so this is what's interesting, because sometimes we box God in these four walls of the church building. But I'm telling you right now, when no one's here, God's presence is not here. It doesn't make sense for God's presence to reside in this building when no one's here, because God's presence resides in you. It resides in me. This is where we get this incredible hope of that God can use you and use me to go do wonderful, great things for God. Look on the screen. In order for God to continue to tabernacle among us, we individually and collectively need to get moving. What God is calling us to do, and where is God calling us to go in order to bring the compassion, divine presence into this world? That's what we're called to do. That's restoration. And by this church, I mean the people of this church. We restored in order to restore. And I'm excited about what God's going to do this year and next year and other years to come. What happens here is exciting because he's not called us to be bobbleheads or bobbleheads. Bobbleheads. We can do it that way. And you just push my head and I can scratch. I'm not doing anything. I'm just bobbing my head. He called us to go and feed the hungry. Go to be with the poor. Back on the screen. You've got to come and see this. See, when I talked about to Dan Davidson, I texted him this morning and said, I'm going to talk about you. And he said some wonderful things back. And we're like having a bromance right now through the text message, just because we love each other to death. But if you ask Dan about his ministry, it's not about him. He wants to show you what God's doing in people's lives because he's just excited about it. And so he's excited about what the possibility is. And so MCF, this church has been on the move when starting the whole ministry in Pasadena herself, or when we went to Sudan, when Jennifer and I went to Sudan, or Westside VA that we got involved in, or the homeless shelter for the pregnant mom, or the safe place for the youth shelter for Venice, or building homes for the Habitat of Humanity. This is where God moves. This is how he moves. And so this is where it's interesting, because I want to just share some personal things with you, what's going on. In December, and this is how God's on the move. You ever have something, all of a sudden you go, we need to do something? Or that God puts something on your heart? God always puts things on your heart for you to move. And sometimes you have a spouse, like I'm the spouse, that convinces it's not on the move. There was a gentleman, Justin, that came to our church about a week, first week of December. He told my wife, he goes, you know, my wife and I are living out in the wetlands. And so so you gave all the food to him. And it was incredible. And so the thing is, Jennifer is on the move. Jennifer goes, you know, we're here for Christmas. Why don't we do a dinner for the homeless people? And so me personally goes, how are we going to do that? I mean, it's not like they're on, you know, you stereotype, how do we do this? And so she kept bringing it up. And I don't know how to do it. So Christmas Eve service, as a supportive pastor I am to do this, Christmas Eve service, there was a gentleman sitting in the back by himself, well-dressed gentleman. And after the service, he went to my wife and said, do you have anything tomorrow? For I'm homeless and I have nowhere to go. God moves. But sometimes we think too much, don't we? We try to figure out how we're going to do it, but God's on the move. He'll send it. So a week ago last Sunday, Saturday, in our Saturday service, guess who comes? Justin. And he says, dude, I'm starving. We haven't eaten 4 days. Good. I'm not rethinking this at all. I said, Justin. And so I said, I'll meet you at Ralph's. I'll buy $100 worth of groceries. It's on me. He goes, are you sure? He goes, which Ralph's? Because there's two Ralph's down here. And so we had 10 minutes trying to explain it, this Ralph's. So my wife is logical. She goes, how are you going to buy $100 worth of groceries for somebody that's on a bike and homeless? Why don't you give him a card, a gift card for Ralph's? Okay. You know, you hate when your wife's right, but what you do is you go, that's what I was thinking too. That's your answer, man. That's what I was thinking too. You're ahead of me. And so Jennifer went with me. And sure enough, he comes on his bike. He can't find his wife. And he says, thank you. And he broke down. I said to him, I said, you know what? You have ministered to my wife more than we have ministered to you. Thank you for letting us see Christ movement. And he just gave me a hug, took the card, and left. Christ is on the move. He will bring people here, but we need to be aware. He will bring it to your heart weeks prior to it. And I guarantee you, the Lord has brought things to your heart already, and you just said, no, I can't do it. So what I did, I called my buddy Don Rogers. He has the biggest ministry in Eldoret, Kenya. Called him not 2 weeks ago. Monday, I think. Monday. I can't remember. there's a movement going on in my heart. So I said, you know what? I miss going to Africa. That's who I am. Now, if you don't know me, I've done 9 mission trips to Southern Sudan. Southern Sudan is nuts right now, so no one's going. Not even the charter flights for missionary flights are going. So I said, you know what? I really need to go. And he started sharing the story about how these women that are making alcohol for these men, and alcoholism is so prevalent that the children in Kenya are being neglected and beaten. But he says when you would go to a village in Kenya, he said that when we work with them, we can train these women to do other things, and then the alcoholism stops and the children are treated well. So the Bible is clear, let the children come unto me and do not hinder them. So I said, let's do it. And I said, you know what? I want to take a mission trip from this church. 6 people. And I want to revolutionize their lives. I want us to stay in the village with these children, with these mothers, and minister. Because I want us to come back so excited of what we can do and so aware of, because people need experience. And then 2 days later, we get this statement about Africa is a dump. Africa is where your pastor met God to the fullest. Africa is where I was fully accepted for who I am by these people. Africa is where my wife, when it's 116 degrees and we're dying of heat, she goes, I want to live here. This is how the Lord works. He moves with us that have so much resources in the world that he says, I want you to be ministered to by where I am. My temple is in Africa. My temple is where we're allowed to be. And so put it on your heart. If you want to go to Kenya and you want to say, you know what, I want to be changed, I want to transform, and I want to come back here and make a difference. When we met with the architect on Friday, about doing the whole building process, guess what? We talked about building a coffee shop here to hire the people in SPI, the safe place for youth. It'll be years down the line, but we need to be a church that's on the move. So on the screen, so my invitation is this to you this morning, is to come and see Jesus for yourself. But in order to see the greater things that he will do, you will have to get moving, because Jesus doesn't stand still for very long. And so I want to encourage you. Don Rogers is scheduled to come speak to us in February, to tell us about his ministry in Africa and how he was called to do it. And then we'll have the opportunity, if we like, to build a team to go to Africa to really see that it's not a poop hole, that these are beautiful, beautiful people that love the Lord. May God bless you, and may God bless his word.